we have a special click there, and it's continued on over the years. And at one point, NECAN was a very active part of your life, and then it took a back seat to other things, but the products have never taken a back seat with you. You still utilize the products, enjoy the great benefits from that. So, Janie, when I got started with the information out of China study, not too long after I started, your name came across my mind, and I thought, oh, dear, Janie's going to have a laugh on me because I wasn't much in favor of the things you told me about eating vegetarian at that time. And and it was lack of knowledge, obviously, is what it was. But you had been doing vegetarian for how long?
What is it? It's got to be 9, 10 years. My son, we started when my son was 12, 13, so now he's going to be 25. So you do the math. I'm not quite so quick. So.
Okay.
But, yeah, so it's been a lot of years. So.
And you had an interesting start as to what your reason for doing this was. It was a description of what you were going through when he was 12, 13 years old.
Well, he had been, Ian was a pretty special kid. He's really quite, you know, he's really quite an active, as most normal kids are, really active, but really loved plants, loved animals, and but was also, you know, the star football player, and he was the district wrestling champ, and had questioned being vegetarian before, and I had always said, oh, you know, no, I don't believe in it, can't do that, I don't know how to cook it, meat's really important, and you're an athlete, you need to do this. Well, he became very, very ill, and it was a strange illness, just very tired, started losing all of his energy. It looked a lot like mononucleosis or something like that, some sort of virus that was going on. And so we took him to the doctor and had all the tests done, and it came back. They couldn't quite figure out what it was that caused it, said that what he believed it was cytomegalovirus. And
Okay, Janie, let me just stop you here because I didn't ask you your background. Were you already in the background of medicine at that time, or did that come later?
No, actually, I was going to school. It was all really magical the way this all worked together. I was actually working not in medical, but going to school and to be actually just a CNA at this point. I started as a CNA and then have worked my way up to where, you know, I'm now an LPN. So
okay, and an LPN, if someone isn't educated in that field, is
a licensed practical nurse.
Okay.
LPN or LVN, licensed vocational nurse. It's one step down. It's one step down from an RN. It's a year down from an RN, but you do all the same things other than it's what you have to be certified to. You can still do everything that a nurse does, but you have to still have supervision, like someone's RN sign me off on certain things or delegate that to me in a hospital is how that works. Yeah.
Okay, so this was a part of your background which made you more knowledgeable, or at least going into it, you were doing the studying for it at that time, and then as that progressed, you had that background also. So go ahead with the story.
Yeah, well, and I've always had, you know, I've always dealt a lot with medical things. I was a veterinarian technician and everything before that, and it's very, you know, a lot of similarities. So, anyway, he became ill, and the doctor said, well, it's a cytomegalovirus, which is an autoimmune. That's one of these autoimmune names they give things. Well, I finished, so he kept going, it kept progressing, and let's say several months had went by, and he was still going downhill, and I was getting this, oh, it needs to run its course, and we were doing the titer counts. The titer counts that you do on blood to see where the virus is going. And every time the cyto count would come up, it would be, oh, he's still got cytomegalovirus, and, you know, this needs to run its course. And, well, in the meantime, my son, Bailey, is, you know, going downhill, and I'm still going to school. I get, they call from the hospital, and I get, start working up at the hospital, and I'm working nights. And I pull out all the desk references, and I start reading about cytomegalovirus. And it is somewhat, being a autoimmune, it's passed supposedly by blood or semen or, you know, like AIDS is, which we were thinking, oh, maybe when he was wrestling. It was just this odd thing, the way it came together. And it came, he got sick right after wrestling. Well, bottom line is, this was going on, and he wasn't getting any better. We were losing ground. And it was getting to where even school, his schoolwork, he was a straight-A student, started falling behind in school because he would fall asleep. He couldn't stay awake. He was already pure muscle. There wasn't any fat on him. And he was dissolving. It was eating into the muscle, and he, you know, the big circles under his eyes and everything. And he would wake up daily going, you know, like one day he woke up, Mom, my legs hurt. And I'm like where? Show me where. And it would be up at the top, and it was like, well, that's your lymph nodes, honey, you know. And then I would check him out, and I'd panic, and all the lymph nodes, I would check those to see, oh, my gosh, you know, what's happening here. Well, finally, I'm up at work, and I grabbed my doctor in the morning, one morning, and I said, please, you know, doctor, get me, I want to go to a specialist. Please get me to the closest man to God, you know, and that's exactly how I put it. Something's going on besides cytomegalovirus. I don't believe this, and I'm losing my son. At this point, he was just a waste. There was nothing left of him. He was a skeleton. It was just, it was terrifying. And so he recommended us to the top hematologist oncologist in that area, which you have to realize we're down on the coast where there's not, you know, we're down in the Coastal Tuesday area. And so this was up in Tuesday, and it's a rather large hospital. It's the largest on the coast, that area is, but still, you know, we're not talking New York or L.A. or something here. But anyway, so this was the top oncologist hematologist. And also a background in my family that others should know, I have a high cancer rate in my family. My father was 53. 12, my grandmother comes from 12 brothers and sisters, all varying cancers. They've all died of every kind of cancer there is. She's had 3 different cancers and is now finally got one that's got the best of her, and she's now dying of pancreatic cancer. So there, cancer is very rampant in our family. And so as I pull up to this oncology center, you know, and I had moved to Oregon because of the death of my mother, and trying to get away in a new start. And here I am in the same place with my now 13-year-old son. And it happened to be the week before Christmas. And anyway, we went in and met the doctor, and as he gives me an exam, he gets under his arms. And I see his eyes, his whole face just sinks. And I knew, there we go. That's the worst thing. That's when your glands under your arms swell, it's very standard that you've got lymphatic cancer, you've got Hodgkin's, there's something very, very serious going on. And he sits down and kind of runs his, and just very upset, and says, well, I need to tell you right off the get-go, this is not a cytomegalovirus. You've got something really serious going on here. And this is what we're going to do. And looks at his watch. The week before Christmas, we're going to, and, you know, starts with the battery of tests we're going to do every day that week, ending in, and the last thing we're going to do on Friday is we are going to get a sample of that, what's under your arm, and, you know, surgically get a sample of that, do a biopsy of it, and make sure you don't have cancer. And, well, of course, I couldn't believe it. I was dumbfounded. And, he came over and helped me get up, and I didn't cry, didn't break down. You don't do that with your son watching you. And, but, you know, we head over to the hospital and we start doing, continue doing all the blood. We'd been doing, Ian had joked, but, you know, why don't we just put a valve on my arm? He'd had so many blood tests and everything. We went back over and started all of that. Well, through the week, at this point, I had kept things pretty quiet in our family. You know, I'm not one to holler about, oh, my son's sick, poor me type thing. And at this point, I went, of course, to my pastor, and he knew what was going on, but said to him, please, can we, this is scary, please, can we get him on the prayer link, and can, you know, we need prayers here. This is what's happening, and...
Were you carrying this load by yourself on top of it? Were you a single parent at this time, Jane?
I'm a single parent, and not only was I a single parent, but see, when I left Utah, all my family lived in Utah, and also the father, you know, I'm very close to my son's father and to my children's father, but he tends to get overly worried and ill too. I mean, he's not a strong human being. And my family, all back in Utah, whenever anything would go wrong, it was kind of like they thought I had just thrown this little temper tantrum and left home, even though I was in my late, you know, my mid-30s, a mother. They couldn't understand why I left. No one leaves our, you know, big family and goes out on their own. And so I had kept it quiet also because I just didn't want to be told, please come home, we'll fix this, you know, well, we told you so type of thing. So I had just been holding this myself, yes, I had been doing it on my own. And at this time, turned to the community. Coquille's a small town, and they do take care of their own, and there is a huge church network there. And my background was LDS, and... although I was not going to the LDS church, I've always believed and had a heavy faith in God and in the power of blessings and prayer. And, you know, went and asked if there could be a blessing given to my son. So this week, the last week goes on, and that week before Christmas goes on, and it ends up being Sunday, and a group of elders come over and give Ian a blessing, and afterwards, we're in what I call the library. We also lived in an old church. I had bought an old church that I had converted to a house, and one of our special rooms was what we called the library, but it used to be with the church, the cry room, that was just off from the chapel where you could see into the chapel, but you'd go there with your children when they were crying. And I really loved that room. It had a good feel to it, and we had made it our library, and I was in there and talking to Ian, and said to him, you know, Ian, what's going on in your head here, you know, how are you feeling? And he's like, oh, I'm fine, Mom. And I says, well, I mean, like, mentally, how are you feeling? And he's like, well, I'm great. And he had, even through all of his doctor things, wanted to go, still continue to go to school. And I had been getting a lot of phone calls from the whole community, people I didn't know, oh, it can't be Ian, he's our angel, blah, 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 you know, and just this real rally of support and really realizing what kind of child I had. I had always known, but how the community knew what kind of child he was. And he said to me, I says, how are you being so strong? How are you? I can tell you are. What mentally is keeping you going here? I mean, and he says, well, you know, Mom, he says, I know you have your beliefs and you've always raised us with those, but I have my own beliefs too, and I'm not just hanging on your beliefs. He says, and those beliefs tell me, and I truly know that this is what is supposed to be happening, and whatever is happening, we as a family will handle this, and it will all be okay.
Wow.
And right there was my answer, that I've gotten everything in life I needed to get already. I had been so blessed. And... anyway, the next day ended up being Christmas Eve day, and I get the phone call from the doctor, from Dr. Boland, and he says, Janie, I've got good news and bad news. I says, okay, well, heck, let's hear the good news. And he goes, well, the good news is it's not cancer. And I'm like, well, praise the Lord on that one. You know, how can anything be bad? You know, how can there be bad news? You know? And he said, well, Because this is the thing, Janie. I have to be really honest with you. I've never seen anything that looks more like cancer. That looks more like either Hodgkin's or lymphoma cancer. And he says, we have done, and with the history, what's been going on, we've done everything we know how to do. We've done every test there is. And bottom line is here, Janie, the bad news is your son's dying. We're losing your son.
Oh, my goodness.
We're in trouble here. And we don't know what's wrong. We can't help you. And he said, what I need you to do is I need you to go up to Portland and go to OHSU. He said it's a big medical facility. And, you know, go up there, stay up there, and, you know, blah, 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 blah. And at this point I'm kind of closing, and I'm hearing tests, and, you know, and I'm getting this flash picture of, you know, wow. And I look at my watch, and I look at the date, and it's like, oh, you know what? And I kind of interrupted him. I said, you know what? Because you kind of shut down after a certain while. And I remember, like, shutting down and looking down and going, oh, my gosh, tomorrow's Christmas, you know? Because, of course, who had remembered that through all of this? And I said, you know what, Dr. Boland, thank you so much. I just need to take some time off, and I need to get a grip on this myself. I also have a daughter. I'm a single mom at home. I need to figure out what's going on here. And I really believe in my intuition and that I'm the mother, and I really believe in God, and I really know I need to mellow out and try to find out what's going on here. And we need to enjoy Christmas as a family. And I'll get back with you the 1st of January.
Wow.
And so that's what we did, and we had Christmas, and I called the hospital and told them, you know, I need to take the week off. They were very understanding. And at this point, I mean, as you know, I'd been praying, and we'd had prayer chains going. And what I did is Ian couldn't wait to, you know, he'd been going to school every day, even through his different appointments and everything. That was very important to him. He loved school. And he was just happy to be able to get back to school and not have to do doctor appointments. And so he was back in school, and Hannah was in school at the time. She's 5 years younger than him. And I started then going to, water's very important to me. I love water. It calms me, to the ocean, to the rivers, out to the forest, to all the reasons why I came to Oregon. I knew I came to Oregon for a reason. And when I had never been to Oregon, and when I came up here, I loaded my two cars after my mom died. I loaded my two kids into the car, gave a drug to my cat. And what happened when I came up here, I just intuitively knew I needed to come to Oregon. And I just remember when we got here, and my kids kind of gone, so this is where we're supposed to be, huh, Mom? And I remember seeing where Mount Humbug falls into the ocean down there on the southern coast and getting out and all these flowers and just getting down on my knees and just being awestruck and thinking, you know, if God's anywhere, he's here. And that had come back to me, and I knew I had to get back to quiet myself and get back and really listen. And I just begged. I just begged, please tell me. Please let me know this is my son. Let me know what's wrong. I'll do whatever. Please, I need to know
like
this.
You were still, you know, very much searching, but there was a peace about what you were doing.
There was a total peace. I knew I would know. I knew I just needed to listen harder. There was a peace. There was a peace because I truly believe in nature. I truly believe in the universe. I truly believe in God and that we are all connected and that everything is connected. Every living thing is connected and that everything universally affects one another. And that we just need to listen and get on that path and pay attention. And that God will direct us. And so anyway, I had come back to my special room and there was a bed in there, my library, and it was in the afternoon and took a nap and woke up with this voice. It comes to me, it came to me just I was just pulled, let's put it this way, and I was straight awake as soon as it just came to me, this knowledge came to me. He's depressed. I mean, and basically, and it's very fast, he's depressed. Think about it. He's got all the symptoms of depression. He's not sleeping. He doesn't have an immune system, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. He's depressed. His body's depressed. He cannot eat meat. It is killing him to eat meat. That was the bottom line. And so he came home from school, and our kitchen was a big gathering point. I had this huge, gigantic kitchen. And now also another thing is we were raising half of Cook Hill. It was this big, gigantic, really wonderful house. And we're down in the kitchen. Ian comes down to the kitchen after school. That's where the two kids would do their homework. And I didn't tell him the whole long thing, but I did say to him, you know what, Ian, you know how you've always wanted to be a vegetarian? He's like, yeah. And I says, okay, we're going to do this. We're going to do this. And, you know, I'm sorry I've been telling you and putting you off, but we're going to do this. But can we keep chicken and fish in for a little while? I mean, this is hard. So this is hard to do. I don't know how to do this. The American way is, and, you know, and I've been raised in all the great little cooking and knitting and sewing skills, and my cooking skills had been, and in home ec, you take your meat, you plan your meal around your meat, right?
Right.
And you add color. My kids used to always joke, because if I did something and I had a yellow squash and yellow corn, when we'd sit down, I'd be going, oh, my gosh, I'm not supposed to have two of the same colors. I mean, it was like all automatically to me. You know, this thing, this way we're indoctrinated, right?
And I'm kind of like,
well, wait a minute, you know, I am working. I'm a single mom here, Ian, but can we kind of just chicken, fish, you know, they do have pretty small brains. Please, can we stick with chicken, fish for a while, you know, just to give me, like, something to go with, you know, not throw it all at me all at once. And he says, and as far as your garden goes, he had always been into herbs, had every herb book, he thinks plants are the most wonderful thing in the whole world, even as a kid, and have all these herb books, and wanted to do this herb garden, and, you know, but as a kid, it never got out there and really hoed through the clay and done what he needed to do to get the soil right, and I kept telling him I was going to help him get the soil correct and everything. I said, okay, this is what we'll do. I'll do this. I promise. This will be, you know, we'll get to the soil. You can get your herb garden going. Let's do this. And I'm going with you. We're doing this, hon. I kept my daughter the regular thing. And so life progressed. And before too long, within a year and a half, we had given up the chicken. And then when he went up to college, he gave up the fish he gave up fish, and then I gave up fish. So it's probably been about, all told, since we gave up red meat, what, about 11 years? And then since we've given up chicken and fish, probably about nine years.
Okay. Now, what did, and so his health just gradually came back?
His health, he started improving daily. And we never got back to the doctor. And we never went up to Portland. And he could go through a whole day of school awake. And, of course, the community's watching this, and they never really got an end to the story because they have thought he had cancer, and they hear he doesn't have cancer, but they never really got an end to the story. And because I wasn't going to go and advertise, oh, yeah, well, God told me, and this is what we're doing. I was waiting to see the results. You know, I knew things speak for themselves. So we were just quietly doing this, and, well, then I started getting phone calls. Well, you know, what's happened? You know, I've seen Ian, and the kids say so-and-so says Ian's at school every day. And, well, then when he could ride a bike again, okay, so you have to realize at this point he's very thin, and he's still to this day. He's now 25. He's a little guy. He's, you know, he's very muscular. He mountain bikes for miles and miles. He's now in Mexico. He's been in Mexico for 3 weeks. Hiking all over the place and busing and hiking all over the place. And, you know, he's very, very, very active, but does not do sports. Also turned away from the whole sport life, got into music, got into, a quieter existence, and his gardening. His garden became very important. And now he is a botanist plant pathologist. He got his degree in that. And so anyway, he, when he could ride a bike, that was really miraculous. I mean, it's kind of weird when you have this kid that's been riding a bike since he was, you know, a little tiny type, when we're all out doing the same thing when he's 14, you know, clapping and cheering, yay, Ian, you know, when he's on his bike. And when he got on the soccer field and could literally play, you know, play a quarter of soccer, we knew we were there. And, well, we get the phone call from the doctor's office. Well, I think about 6-7 months have gone on. And the doctor called. You know, hey, Janie, you know, doctor, this is the doctor. And we've never heard anything. We never, you know, what's going on. We didn't get anything back. We didn't get any reports back. You know, last I caught you, you were supposed to head up, you know, you were going to head up to Portland, or that's what I suggested. What's up here? We were just kind of wondering what's going on. And I told him a short version. Well, I basically said I prayed about it, and we're vegetarians now. And he's like, kind of laughs, you know. And he's like, okay. And I'm like, well, you know, it's working, and this is the answer. And he's like, uh-huh. Well, you know, I'm all for, you know, would you do me a favor? And I said, what? And he says, at no cost to you, would you bring your son up here and we can run tests on him. And I says, I don't know, let me ask him. So I call him, you know, yell at him and say, what do you think? Do you want to do this? And he goes, yeah, I'll do that, Mom, no problem. So we went in, and
that's unusual, Janie, because I'm sure that wasn't what he enjoyed the most.
He
had a purpose. That was the point.
Oh, he had a purpose. I mean, he knew that it was working, and he knew what we were doing. You know, he knew. And I think it had validated. I validated for Ian that, yes, you've listened to your body. I know you've been begging me to be a vegetarian, and this is what's right. This is what we're going to do. And he knew, and this is how we went about it. And I went about it in such a way that, yes, I had prayed. I told him I had prayed, and I had told him that this was what I had been told, that you know, he's a special child, and he's very in tune with his body. He's far more in tune with nature and with his body than I am. And I hadn't listened. I'm sorry I hadn't paid attention. I'm sorry I'm not as, you know, strong of a person as he is to know that this was the correct thing for his body, that he couldn't do this. It was because it hurt him.
Well, it's unusual at that age because we feel we're the parent and we have the knowledge and we are supposed to guide them in that direction the same as we do in any other area of life when they're not, you know, yet adults. And so that's understandable. So what did the doctor have to say after the tests were run?
The doctor came into the office. And he came over, I was sitting down, and Ian was sitting up on the, you know, the little exam table, and he came in, we had went in there, you know, we're dressed and everything to see what the results are, and he walked straight over to me, did not take his eyes off me, and he took my hand and kind of lifted me up into sitting position as he took my hand, and kissed my hand. Now this is this great and holy, this doctor's really well known in that area. Kissed my hand and said, thank you, Janie, for showing this office and showing me a miracle.
Wow.
And he said, all the tests, he says, this is the thing, my dear. He says, I cannot, as a man of science and as a doctor, this goes away from science. We didn't do this through testing. We didn't do this through anything but your prayer that you did this. And he says, but what I have to say about this is, the last time I saw your son, I didn't know what to do. He was dying. He is absolutely the picture of health right now. There is nothing wrong with him. He is absolutely perfect. And he says, what? Don't ever, ever let him eat meat again. And he says, and if you need documentation on that, if you ever need a letter, I will document that this boy is not to eat meat ever again.
You know, you said something. I mean, our bodies are a miracle. There's no doubt about that. The way we are created, and so far man has not recreated the body yet. I don't believe it ever will. but it said that it goes against science. And then, you know, you jet forward and we have this call just, well, it's been just a week ago. Yesterday, I think it was on Sunday, we were coming back from the cruise that we reconnected when you called me. And to get a replacement filter for your air unit. And we had this conversation I started in about the China study. And you said, wow, I've got to go get that book. And I know you were well into it the last time I talked to you. And so does this give you another piece that it really, really is a science and how our body works?
Yes. It's just really great to, you know what, 13 or so years later, to have this wonderful study say exactly and speak to people like you, Char, for me, that what I have known through my life and through that answer to be correct, the health benefits me also, that I have benefited from. And of the only sickly person in our family, and the most sickly person, and is my daughter. And she refuses to be vegetarian, doesn't want anything to do with it, and I have allowed her to make her choice and supported that. She is filing now. She's going to be 20. She's watched, and she is doing a lot better in her health, you know, by watching me, because anytime she says something, I would say to her, well, Hannah, you know, it is what you are, what you eat. You know, you need to be aware of what you're eating. And
she went on in the standard American diet, the SAD diet, as they call it.
Yes.
And you two stayed with the plant-based diet, as is outlined in the China study, or close to that.
Uh-huh.
And she was the one that was not having the good level of health, even after Ian had been so sick, is what you're telling me.
Yeah. And in fact, it's really funny because now his girlfriend that he's been, he's had the same girlfriend for 5 years. They went to Peru. Now, she's not vegetarian either. Well, they went down to Peru and, for 2 months. And it's hard. It is hard to travel as a vegetarian. I can tell you that. It's very hard.
Yes, I agree.
But, yeah. And you have to really, you know, you have to have a strong faith and belief that what you're doing is the way, and you do manage, okay?
Oh, yes, you can.
And we've never had, at the bottom line with all of this is just a mere example. I'll take my son for it, because my son and Michelle are a good one to do, because they're together. She, all through Peru, she had stomach problems. The whole time she came back this skinny little waist, and he would keep telling her, he was just a picture of health. He's just, you know, and he never gets sick. Ever does he ever get sick. And like with me, you know, once again, this last Christmas, you know, his father's here and we're driving somewhere and he's driving and he looks at me in the rearview mirror and he says, he just kind of goes, what's up with you, Jamie? He goes, you know, I'm this fat old man. And see, my son's been on my dad, his dad all the time, too, about the way he eats. And, Dad, you know, I'm telling you. But anyway, so I'm in the back seat, and he can see me in the rearview mirror, and he looks and he goes, you know, Jane, what's the deal here? I'm this fat, gray old man. And I had always had a weight problem. It was me when we were married. He was skinny, just, you know, this little skinny, whatever. And I've always had to fight my weight. And, he's looking in the rearview mirror and he goes, what's up here? You know, I'm this fat old man and you get younger and younger every time I see you. And which is a joke, every time I go home, my sister's mother-in-law, every time she sees me, her joke is, what are you doing up there in Oregon? You just keep getting younger and younger and younger every time I see you. And anyway, and my son sitting next to him just, you know, pipes up just as quick as he can, says, vegetarianism, Dad, cut that meat out, you'd be amazed what your body's going to do, you know. So.
Well, Janie, this, I mean, I can't ever express the regrets I have for thinking the thoughts I thought about people that did not go the standard American diet as far as the food groups. And in clear all of the animal product that we've had in our diet, having been raised for the last 30 years plus with organic beef, organic gardening, all of these things we've done, you know, brown eggs, organic chicken, all of that, and yet see the difference that has taken place in our life, and even now it's extending into our grandchildren as they're removing things that they found are causing allergies with them. And our systems are just not designed to do that, but you've given a strong response for people to do this. And when I see this, where I see this fit together with what we're doing, Janie, is it's the missing piece of the puzzle. We can have all these incredible technologies until we take charge of what we're putting in our body. Our body's fighting to still survive with the help of our products. It's in a better level of health, but it can be so much better. And that's what excites me about all of this. It's just, it's our obligation to society to deliver a piece of information that is not thought to be popular now because it goes against so many big companies, political issues involved in all of that. Would you agree with me?
Oh, highly. And let me tell you, especially for a boy or a man to be a vegetarian, oh, let me tell you, the rousing and the anger that other man, there's a, and, you know, the anger when you tell people you're a vegetarianism, which I don't go and say it all the time. I try to be quiet about it because people are angered by it. It makes people really mad when you tell them, you know, I don't get mad that they eat meat, but I literally will have people be angry at me that I'm a vegetarian.
Never have I thought of it that way. But
well, sir, you were one of them. We would have this discussion, and I'm not a person to argue it and push it, but I know where people stand, and I let them believe their beliefs, and I go on living, I believe, in example. Example pays, and doing what I feel to be correct. And I do believe, too, Char, that's the reason why the product works on me so well and so quickly is because as
your body,
my body is stabilized. My body is in tune with doing the correct thing,
what's
as
natural.
Is.
Yeah, what's natural for it.
Yeah, with natural sources to begin with, which is why, you know, I'm actually at this point have gotten out of, as you know, gotten out of medicine. I came back to school to finish my first degree from years ago, which was political science, because I have been very, it's hard to work in the medical field and know what you know and see what you see and see, you know, what is being sold and what is being, you know, the bill of health, literally the bill of health and that is being sold to the American public and working in that, you know, field. And as a nurse, there's things you cannot say. You have to support your doctor. You have to support, there's steps to hierarchy that you have to keep your mouth shut about a lot of things. And even when you know better.
Well,
and
it pays the bills at the end of the month for millions of people that are connected in various ways to this, that should this country's health turn around because of what and how they're eating and have the replacement and the less of the processed food is a big part of it also, and I know you realize that too, and the less of the drugs as a result of healthier bodies, there's going to be a whole... There'd have to be a whole change in the population as to their job description and where they're working because we would need less of the things attached to sickness.
Exactly.
And so politically, it's huge, and it's not
going to happen. It's a gigantic industry. It's our number one industry right now. Yes, the health industry is massive.
Yeah. So anyway, we've got to wind this up because we're past our time a little bit here, but I just couldn't cut you off on any of this because I know people need to hear it straight from people that have lived it, done it, and had miraculous experiences with it as we learn as we're going down this path from the doctors that have been working with it. But Janie, I just can't thank you enough for being a part of this. And I know it'll reach many, many, many more people. And I know that we will continue to be in touch. And I know that also with the scientific information, that'll give you another strength and another link to feel comfortable in saying, hey, this isn't me doing it, or it isn't my intuition, it isn't my relationship with God. It is pure science. Our bodies are designed and work differently on an animal-based product than they do when they're given what it needs. A plant-based product and exclude the rest of it. So
yes, validation's awesome.
The validation is there because people search for education, and to me, education, knowledge is powerful, and we've just got another tool in our arsenal. So I'm just going to close by once more saying thank you to you, and thank you for all the pilot group that is on the line with us, that is our staff and our group staff, unpaid staff. I need to correct that a little bit. And thank you to our guests that have been in attendance today. And if you have any questions or comments, please direct them to the person that invited you to this call. I do need to tell you this call will be posted on focusongrowth.com, bottom left side of their front page under Advanced Lifestyle, and then look for today's date, the 6th of August, and you can direct people to go there and listen. They also have a package of the four books that we together have picked, our group that is doing the pilot study group, that we have picked to be the most instrumental in helping people do the simple things. It's not as complicated. Some people choose to do it slowly, gradually. We chose to do it overnight. The night we got our blood work done, so we'd have a benchmark to look at. That was the night that we took out the animal product. And I don't want to say that we're extremists. There has been some that's crossed our lips in simply in being polite, and some by accident. So, but knowingly, we have never chosen to go backwards. So I thank you for your attendance, and please join us again on this most important journey of life. Have a wonderful day.